Okay, welcome back to YAG. Hope you are excited to come and sing to the Lord and to listen to the Lord's Word. So there are a few things that we want to give thanks to the Lord for. And so I've chosen this song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. So there are two things that I'd like to especially give thanks. And I think you know why. First of all, I think we really want to thank God for watching over Pastor and Auntie. It's been an exciting week of prayer. I think just to be able to see how the whole church have come to rally in prayer for Pastor and Auntie is really amazing, really. So when Pastor and Auntie went for their op on Wednesday, so Auntie first, and then the Pastor a few hours later. I was praying, others were praying, and we were just keeping in touch, real-time, updates. And, it's just so really wonderful to see how God was watching over Pastor and Auntie, and both had successful operations. Thank God for His grace, for His mercy, for His love. And, sometimes when we tend to think, oh, everything will just go on smoothly. But, just to be able to see how prayer truly works and how the church as a praying church, at a family camp, we learn about what it means for us to be a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. And this is what it means for the whole church to come together and to pray for Pastor and Auntie. So I thought that was really wonderful to create this spirit of prayer as a church, in faith, in love, and to see how Auntie was able to recover, right? In she was in on Tuesday, and she was out yesterday. So, and she's looking good. I don't know whether you've seen her pictures. I was tempted to flash it, but I think no need. But she's looking really well. Really thank God for that. And Pastor also. And there's so much for us to be thankful for. So I hope that you discovered a little bit more what it means to be in spirit of prayer, the reality of prayer, and really being able to see how God truly watches and answer our prayers. Okay, so that's one. And the second thing has to do with our outing. So as you know, our YG outing, we are going to explore the Telok Ayer area, and after that we're going to have dinner at this place. We're still trying to figure out how to pronounce MYO at Retro Bar, something like that. Resto Bar, not Retro Bar. Resto Bar. Don't go to the wrong place. Right? So, anyway, during the week, after Pastor's and Auntie's operation, we went for dinner to celebrate. So, on Wednesday night, we had a bit of a food tasting at the restaurant. And so the food is good, really good. It's a bit of like Chinese fusion kind of food. So it was very nice. So you can look forward to an exciting dinner. But there was some development that came about that was quite interesting. So we wanted to change this, change that, add this, add that. We were trying to discuss about how much and so on and so forth. So Jane was the one been lying sing. And she actually, before Wednesday, we were already booked for that day, a few tables already, and the lady said, okay, everything's fine. So we went to have that food tasting. So subsequently, she went to call her and to discuss things, right? And then she realized that it was a public holiday. And she said, actually, we don't open on public holidays. Ta-da! So sound effect, right? So I was wondering, what? So Jane told her, but you already confirmed, you sent us SMS, you told us that you already given us, a few tables and so on and so forth. Then she said, okay. Then she looked at all the requirements that we wanted, and then she finally said, okay, you know what? We will do this for you, especially for your group. You must have at least 6 tables, but we will open up the place for you. So she said, oh, if you do this, all these things, we will be fine with it. So they are actually specially opening on public holiday for us. And we have the whole place to ourselves. I think so, right? Because nobody else is going to come on a public holiday. And I went to check on the website. Actually, they did state that they don't open on Saturdays and public holidays. Amazing, right? Jane didn't see, which is good. And the lady kind of didn't realize. Do you see the hand of God? I mean, that's how I see it. And that we can find this place. It's a very interesting place. I mean, it's a bit old. The whole, you know, Oxley Tower is a bit old, but it's actually quite an interesting place. So if you are not signed up, please do. We need to make up the numbers and look forward to an exciting time. Okay, so that's why I'm leading in today's Singspiration. Next week, Chenki will give you a briefing before everything concerning what we're going to do and so on and so forth. Okay, so let's look at today's song. And truly, may our hearts be filled with thankfulness to the Lord for all that He has done for us. And really, because of Him, we can pray to our Heavenly Father. We can appreciate Him so much more in everything, in every day. Let's take this song together. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Well, truly, we want to give thanks to the Lord for all that He has blessed us with. So we're going to have a very exciting outing, and I hope that you will sign up soon. We did a bit of recce also concerning the Amazing Race. My wife has come out with Amazing Race. That's really amazing in the first place. She used ChatGPT. So, yeah. And we're going to design a race with Ecclesiastes in mind also. So there'll be a bit of time to review and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it'll be wonderful. And any of you been to this Chinatown Heritage Center? And we'll see how. And of course, along the way, we will have a bit of refreshment, go and visit one of the cafes and have a bit of fellowship along the way, things like that. Okay? So it's not just about running. Okay, well, let's pray and then we can look at today's text. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you once again for all that you have blessed us with. Thank you for this time that we can study your words. We pray that you will enlighten us. Pray that you will continue to give us good insights from your word. And we pray that you will bless us. Once again, we also want to give thanks for blessing Pastor and Auntie, for watching over them. Continue to help them in their recovery, and that they will be able, Lord, to be back to normal and back with us soon. We pray also for your blessings upon the YEG outing, that you will bless it, and may we have a good time of fellowship and reviewing of what we have learned from Ecclesiastes. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we were looking at Ecclesiastes 12, and we learned about remembering our Creator and this idea of aging. I think that's something that we are aware of and concerned about, whether it's for ourselves. I think it's important to see how faith can make a difference in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. Okay, so we'll come to the second but last session, and we see how Solomon has come to bring everything to a bit of a conclusion. And so he writes for us some reflections concerning himself as the preacher, right? So this was already stated at the beginning. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So he saw himself as the preacher in the context of teaching, right, in this book. Now, we also, okay, let's go back to chapter 12. And here we read, and moreover, verse 9, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So we want to be able to learn this afternoon in the context of us as people who use words as part of our life and ministry, right? As pastors, words matters, right? And as teachers of the Lord's Word, some of you are Sunday school teachers, some of you, you counsel with others, the younger ones, and, you know, generally just being one who help others in the context of the church or in the context of your lives. Words are important. How you use words, whether they are effective or not, whether they are wise or not. And this whole book that we've been studying about wisdom. And wisdom makes a difference in, right? Wisdom gives strength. Wisdom brings success. Wisdom gives us the ability to be able to say things in a way that would be helpful, effective. So it's important for us to learn from Solomon how he saw himself as a preacher and the way in which he sought to acquire wisdom and to put wisdom into proverbial sayings that we have been studying and learning, and they are useful for our lives and our ministries. Okay? So, and therefore, it is all part of his teaching approach. He saw himself as a preacher. He saw himself as a teacher of wisdom. And therefore, he sought to gain wisdom, right? Whether it is through observations of life, which we often talked about, whether it's from the Lord and his word, we also did talk about this. And he basically sought to share what he has gained. But how he sought to do it is important also for us to understand this. For him, it was through Proverbs, right? Proverbial sayings. He sought to design proverbial sayings that would reflect the scope of his knowledge that he wanted to bring across, right? And that's something for us to consider. So let's look at verse 9 again. It says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, right? So he had at least, wisdom that he wanted to bring across, and he still taught the people knowledge that that he needed to gather, knowledge that he needed to ponder over. So that's important. I don't know whether you take time to ponder over what we have been learning. We've been through 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. How much of it have you actually remembered, right? Or pondered over? So it's key that we take time to ponder over knowledge. It's not just acquired. It's knowledge that you will think about, you will meditate over, you will consider, and you sort out, right? You search for it, and then you set in order. That's what Solomon, you know, decided to do. He was setting in order into many, many proverbs, many proverbial sayings, and he would then put them together and say, okay, this is what he has gained, what he has learned, and he sought to teach it. Right? So some of us are teachers of the Lord's Word. You know, the challenge as teachers of God's Word, how do we ponder over these things? How do we actually take time to sort it out and set it in order so that when you teach it, it is wisely done, it is effective, it is something that would truly be, something that ultimately comes from the Lord. Look at verse 10, and he goes on to say, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. And what was written was upright words of truth. So these are three key things that we need to think about when we talk to someone, when we teach someone. The words that we use, acceptable words? Are they right words? Are they acceptable to the Lord, to all of us? Are they upright words, righteous, honorable, wholesome words? That's what we seek to do as pastors, whether over the pulpit or whether we are teaching any class. The challenge is always being able to say, how can we bring things across that are words of truth? We don't want in any way to bring things that across in any way that is false, that is evil. You know, so sometimes when we hear of how the pulpit is used to say things against others, against people, against organizations, and so on and so forth, and we ask ourselves, is that what the pulpit is meant for? I've heard this before, where the pulpit is used to attack different people. And to me, that is not the best or the right use of the pulpit. The pulpit is a place for us to teach the Lord's word, to preach the Lord's word. It is where we want to be able to bring the word of God, the truth, to the brethren. So it's not used to further a person's agenda. See, that's part of the problem where you have the pulpit being abused in this way, where there's certain agenda and it is used to speak words against others and so on and so forth. So that's something that we guard against, and we want to be able to, ultimately, what matters is the truth. It's truth that makes a person free. It is truth that will bring life. It is truth that would ultimately bring an uplift and encouragement to the heart. And that's what we seek to do. And to me, that is vital. That's very important. Okay? Well, let's move on. And he goes on to say in verse 11, right? The words of the wise are like goats, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. You know what are goats, right? Not the meh, the kind of goats, right? Whenever you have like a cart and then you have a bull pulling the cart, the person who is driving the cart would have these things called, you know, long sticks. And at the end, there's a pointed point, whether, you know, one thing or another. And it is really to use it to goad the bull on a straight line, go forward, and to keep it in the line. Because when you're plowing, you want a straight line. You don't want a line that goes curly-whirly and so forth. So they use goats to ensure that if the bull is going to the left, it gets poked and then it sticks to the straight line. So in the same way, when we use words that are effective, then we are actually goading or prodding this person along in the right way. Now, that's something that I do when I teach, whether in Sunday school or even when I counsel, right? There are certain things that when I counsel with someone and the person brings their concerns or their problems or their difficulties and they just seek advice or wisdom, I have certain things in mind already in how I'm going to approach things. And so, but usually what I'll do is that I'll let the person talk first. And I see where this person is coming from. I understand this person. I see the challenges. I see the difficulties. I understand. And then I would, you know, try to slowly direct and counsel this person in whatever way so that there is a direction in which this person ought to go. Sometimes it's not predetermined. It very much depends on the circumstances and so on and so forth. But I'm looking for words that are going to motivate this person in a direction that is going to be wise and useful, and being able to say, okay, this is something that you want to consider. Ultimately, it's still your choice. It's something that you want to be able to decide upon. But generally, there is a certain direction in which we want to go. Right? So it's important for us to know, okay, actually we can, when we use words, it can urge a person along, you can use wisdom. That means you are looking at a certain direction and you are helping this person to be encouraged to go in that direction, knowing that that is probably a wiser approach. Same thing when you talk about words of a scholar, right? The words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd, right? So words of scholars. Now, of course, we all are learning, right? And we learn from the Word of God, we learn from others, but ultimately words, wisdom. So for Solomon, he is a preacher, he's a teacher of the Lord's Word, he will come up with words that he has gained from knowledge, but using those words, he would put it into or formulate into something that is going to be wise, and they are well-driven nails that are going to be strong and stable for the person. So, like for instance, we've learned, right? Wisdom is a defense, right? Like money is a defense, remember that? We learned about wisdom strengthens the wise. We learned about wisdom brings success. The work of a wise man are gracious. Sorry, the words of a wise man are gracious, and so on and so forth. Many wonderful sayings that we have learned. And they are things that we want to be able to apply. So it's wonderful to see how many of you have come up here and to share about the things that you have learned and how they have helped you in more ways than one. See, ultimately, what we are doing and what Solomon sought to do is really to be able to see that all these words are given by one shepherd. It comes from God ultimately. That he is the one that brings about the word of God to us so that we would be able to understand it. So ultimately, of course, we learn from Psalm 23 that he is our shepherd and he would be our good shepherd. And the words of a shepherd, these wise words, they come from God, and ultimately we want to be able to learn from it. Right? Okay. What do you guys think? Okay, let's go this side. Ryan, what do you think? You teach the Lord's Word also, right? You're in Sunday school, right? Yeah, you know, to kids and all, and being able, you talk to others, and words are important, right? In your work also, words are very important, right?
Yeah, I mean, for Sunday school, because it's like teaching Asher from a special needs. So sometimes yeah, it's really learning how to simplify it also.
Yes,
something
correct.
That is easy for them to
yeah.
understand.
Yeah.
And I think this idea of being careful with our words and how we do it is, I think, especially important at the workplace because
yeah, sure.
if not sometimes, if you're not careful, then it will be like you might accidentally offend or you might accidentally cause a lot of issues or risks that you don't want to. Yeah.
So like for instance, some of you work with the special needs children and all, right? And they are very sensitive. As you say, you're right. It's to try and make things simple for them to be able to understand and appreciate and learn. Of course, their learning ability is very limited, but nonetheless, they can still learn. But learning things in a way to help. So I was just talking to Asher's parents and to see how Asher has come a long way in terms of his behavior, right, which is wonderful. And he's now one of, in class, he's like someone that the teachers will ask to do things, right, something like that. So it's wonderful, right? Of course, the learning ability is limited, but nonetheless, he is able to do things, he's developing himself. And okay, let's ask the teacher. Rachel, what do you think? English teacher.
Yeah. So language is something I work with a lot.
And, you're the right person to ask. So
sometimes, okay, maybe I share about what happens in a classroom. Sometimes I get so excited.
Excited.
Sometimes I...
Excited not, about what? You gotta give us the context. Yeah.
No, like sometimes we just feed off each other's energy, like the kids.
Yeah, sure.
Like this, then I'm also like this, then I just like.
Which is what I'm trying to do also.
yeah. Yeah, and I find that sometimes I go a bit crazy also lah sometimes. So then I will go back home and I'll share with Ryan. I say, hey, you know, this happened and this happened. And then I will say, hey, you know, I said this, I said it. Then sometimes he will remind me, you know, he said, hey, are you sure you can say this?
Is it?
You need to be careful. Nothing controversial, nothing. But sometimes I need to go back to class the next day and explain myself. But that's why I find that in my line of work, especially, I need to be very, very careful also. Yeah, and also because I don't know how things may be interpreted by the recipient. Like, I may not have any ill intentions, but I just don't want to be misunderstood.
Correct. You're right. Yeah. Well, we're very glad that you are excited about your teaching job. And I'm sure my wife is also happy for you. Sometimes. Yeah, but you're right, right? Choosing the right words, the acceptable words. See, so sometimes it may not be, as you say, like it's false or wrong or whatever, but is there maybe a better way to put it or a more effective way of putting things across? And yeah, so appreciate that. Yeah. Let's ask all the... Oh, Belinda. Okay, MOE. Oh, no longer. Are you still MOE? You're still... Oh, no longer. Right?
No, I'm now in another ministry.
Okay.
Yes, but MOE blood.
MOE blood, okay. MOE blood. Wow. I didn't know got MOE got blood. All I know is the teachers, they spill blood lah, but yeah.
Yes. But I think especially like what Ryan said is very important when it comes to especially in the work context, and I think about also the impact that words would have. It can edify, it can encourage, but it can also stumble, and it can if something wrong doesn't land well, it can affect relationship and how that reflects you as a person, and how it may not be very much aligned when it comes to like if you say that you want to be a Christian worker, but it if it have that negative impact. I think that's the impact that we need to think about.
Okay, good. I appreciate what you just said. And ultimately, it has to do with, in the context of work, but it has to do with relationship, right? How you interact with someone and in the course of your colleague or anything. So let me just bring this idea of relationship, okay? Even in your relationship, whether in the context of your family, husband and wife, in time when you have children and so on and so forth, in the same thing, how do you say something that would motivate rather than scold, do cold wars and, trying to, do something that may not be as effective, right? Sometimes it's a matter of words, right? How do we bring something across to someone that would encourage, would goad the person along a little bit more and help the person understand, Because sometimes when we talk about things, it's a bit difficult, right? Because sometimes, so guy, girl, we all understand, right? The thinking very different. Right, some a bit more emotional, some a bit more straightforward, but sometimes the opposite. Sometimes the guy is more emotional, and then the woman is a bit more straightforward, right? And we all are very different, all very different personalities, and life is such, right? But how do we talk to each other? And ultimately, we want to be able to have a relationship, right? That would be something that we can see ourselves growing together, being responsible, doing all that's necessary, and yet developing that relationship in a way that is loving, kind, and honoring to each other, which I think is very important, right? So that means sometimes rather than saying things impulsively, sometimes it takes a little bit of thought. Why don't we think about it first before we respond? right? There's, of course, some people do make a difference between what, you know, a reaction and a response, right? Why don't we talk about, instead of reacting, why don't we think about it first and have a more, a wiser response and to be able to think of, okay, how can we do that? How can we say things a little bit better? How can we be wiser? How can we... And sometimes, maybe it's good to just hold for a while, right? And, okay, let's think about this. Okay? What do you think? Okay, let's go back to this. Alistair, what do you think?
It's not here, so I can see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize because Shani is blocking me, so I didn't realize.
I think for me, it's really to practice graciousness.
Yeah.
I think I'm very fast to sometimes judge. And assume that you would understand how I feel.
Yeah.
But it's then understand that perhaps anyone who I'm relating to is going through something that's difficult.
Yes.
And to be gracious to say that, you know what, it's okay. Let me just think it through and to respond in a different way out of love rather than out of frustration.
Yes. Yeah, good. I think that's important, you see. And what you brought up is you think it through. You ponder, you think it through, you consider, and, you know, how do we actually address this situation? You're right. Instead of frustration, why don't we show love instead? Right? And sometimes we all tend to think, oh, wow, you know, why are you like this? How come you're like this? I didn't know you were like this. No, I'll not marry you. No, not really. But the point is that, yeah, maybe not the best of words, but okay. But the thing is that, you know, the point is that why don't we learn? Why don't we learn from the circumstances that we find ourselves in? Why don't we grow from it? Okay, Alina, what do you think?
My husband is not here. But I agree with what Alistair said. Yes, I think I'm reaching almost 5 years of being married.
And
he has taught a lot. Sometimes we let our own pride and our own thoughts get ahead of us, and words can hurt sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah. So learning sometimes not saying something speaks even more. So
I think that's good to and sometimes it's through experience, right? Sometimes it takes experience. You learn as you go along, right? Hopefully, you'll be wiser before that you would have to deal with things, right? That is the better approach. But nonetheless, there are times when you need to go through experiences so that we will learn. And we learn from it, we grow from it over the years. So my wife and I, we have many years of experience. Yours is 5 years, right? Well, ours is 5 times more. So maybe a little bit more wisdom. Yeah. Okay, Jerry, what do you think?
I think as what everyone mentioned, like choice of words is very important, I guess. And
yes.
I see it at work more clearly, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like some examples include like maybe doing some reporting upwards. And you know, how can you choose your choice of words to turn a so-called negative
to a positive?
Yeah, you know. And yeah, so I think words really your choice of words really make a difference, no matter where. Whether like you said, for relationships. Sometimes over email will be a bit hard also. Like, at least for me. Sometimes when I read certain emails, then like, how should I respond in a nice way?
The part of the problem with written words and whether it's SMS or email, the tendency of misinterpreting something is very, very real. That's the problem I find with SMS. Right, some people. Sometimes I don't even understand the emoji or whatever. What is he trying to say? Right, what is the express feeling that is being communicated? I also don't know what. Right, but you're right. It's all about communication. That's the challenge about words. Okay, Elena, what do you agree with the husband?
I'm an emoji user.
Yeah.
I think for me also, like, I think more in the context of work, I think like what Rachel said, like sometimes you don't think so much, like you just feed off each other. So I think sometimes like I can go through a work day and like I don't really think much about what I say, like it just comes out. Yeah. So I think it's just learning to be more conscious about like what comes out of your mouth, like, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's important, right? Because as you say, sometimes we are not as conscious. And as a result, it's just going through, okay, I need to get this done. And sometimes because we are very busy, we don't have time to actually think beyond a certain level. And sometimes we just go with our instincts or whatever comes to our mind and so on. Okay, Sham, what do you think?
If it's in the context of relating to one another, then I think, I mean, what the verse 11 says about given by one shepherd. So I think the source of the words really makes a difference when what you share comes from the Bible, whether expressly quoted or whether it's the intent behind it, such as like the patience, graciousness or love shown behind it.
Yeah.
That really makes a difference versus when it's just your own ideas or your own human reaction to things.
Yeah.
Yeah, then as to like my brother
reflection. But don't also end up using the Bible to quote, right, and hammer against. So I'm just saying the other extreme. You just need to be very careful. Again, even in the words, even in the use of the Word of God, it has to be done in a way that is gracious and understanding, and the person appreciates where you're coming from. Mm. Just put it the other extreme. Okay, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, so just, I mean, talking about the impact of words, so just reflecting on my life and actually appreciating how over the years, I think it's the wise counsel that I've gotten from many people, you included, over the years that have really made a difference in my life. So appreciating how words can really have an impact and affect someone's life. Yeah,
absolutely. Right? And sometimes it's helping each other to be able to see, okay, how do I see this and how do I bring things across in a way that is going to be lots more wise and so on and so forth. Right? Today, of course, you got ChatGPT and you can, right? As you say, how do you turn something negative to positive? You can go to ChatGPT and say, please turn this to something positive. Right? And it's wiser, you know, in our approach. Wen, anything?
I think for me, the challenge really comes when emotions are the first thing that... And I think in the context of work, like Rachel, sometimes we get a bit excited, but also... Yeah. When...
you all go to the same school.
Excited over same things. But also frustrated at the same thing. So I think in the context of, say, students, when they're like recalcitrant and then they don't heed the advice when it's given in a gracious manner, then I think the emotions of frustration, for me, it really comes true. And sometimes the words that come out are not as gracious and can be a bit... I can be a bit sharp-tongued when it comes to them. Yeah, so I think that's a bit of my struggle. Yeah.
Well, I guess the discipline part is always challenging, but you know, find the right words. Really being able, you know, even when I was when I was doing my NS, I became an instructor, right? And all the other instructors, they would scold, they would use bad words, they were whatever, right? But I didn't. There's no need. Sometimes when you look at motivating someone, whether you can use incentive or whatever or other ways in which you can actually bring things across in a way that would somehow motivate the person. Right? Discipline, of course, I understand. And sometimes you need to be firm. Understandable. Right? But is there a better way to do things? Okay, Wei-Liang, last one.
I think for me, the main challenge is always to take time to think about what to say and to bring the point across. And sometimes it's the balance between making a point and nuancing it so that it becomes a bit more palatable.
Yes.
And that's where the challenge is, lah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to offend the person, but then you also cannot let it slide.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Of course, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. You must do your, you got to fulfill your responsibility as a teacher, as a worker, and definitely you want to be able, if you need to, you know, get it done, but okay, how do we do it in such a way that is going to motivate and encourage, right? And I hope this will really help you to think this through a little bit better. Now, let's look at the last part in verse 12. And it says, "And further, my son, be admonished by this, right? Of making of many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Well, you talk about wearisome and so on and so forth, right? Many of us, the point is that, right, we want to be able to appreciate where Solomon. Of course, Solomon, he is regarding the reader like a son, right? And he shows affection like a teacher to their pupils. So I appreciate you as teachers. You have relationships with your students. You show affection. You care for them. You're concerned for them. Yet, you need to be able to bring things across, right? You need to admonish, correct, reprimand. See? That's important too. Right? Be admonished by this. Of making of many books, there is no end. Much study is wearisome to the flesh. The point is, at the end of the day, don't get jaded. Right? Sometimes when we search for answers, we search for wisdom, that whole search can be challenging. So even as we come towards the end of Ecclesiastes, don't come to a point where you say, okay, you know what, I already gained enough wisdom and no. I think we just want to be able to say, let's continue to grow, let's continue to learn, let's continue to gain wisdom. Because ultimately, the search for wisdom and knowledge is a lifelong pursuit, right? MOE teach lifelong learning and stuff like that. Same, right? Wisdom is a lifelong pursuit. Whether at this stage in your life or in many years down the road, wisdom is important still. And you will have different kinds of contexts, different circumstances, different time in your life, different seasons. You will find that wisdom is searched differently, wisdom is gained for different contexts, is still important. So it's a lifelong pursuit. And we want to be able to continue. Even for me now, right? Even as pastor, I continue to look for wisdom. I'm still learning how to put things across in a way that is wiser, more effective, how to talk to people, how to teach the Lord's word, right? And being able to say, how do I put things across in a way that's going to encourage people, uplift people's hearts. So I hope that this is something that you would take time to think about, to consider. Don't come to a point and say, well, you know, I'm just so tired about this. No, let's continue to learn, right? Let's learn to grow and develop a greater reservoir of wisdom and knowledge and understanding to seek, to ponder, to set in order, to learn how do we choose words, right? Acceptable, upright, words of truth. And then you can see whether these words are impactful, right? And then we can ultimately see the Lord's hand as our shepherd giving us guiding us, giving us the words that would be useful to teach others and really being able to help them in their walk with the Lord. So I hope this is something for us to consider as we go into our discussion groups. Let's take time to think this through further. Okay, with that, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words once again. Thank you that as our shepherd, you continue to guide us through the the words that you have given to us in the scriptures. Help us, Lord, to continue to see how these words can be pondered over, thought over, that there is so much wisdom in it. And help us, Lord, to see how we can apply these words in how we communicate in our teaching of the Lord's word to others, in our communication at our workplace, in how we relate with each other in the context of the family. In so many ways, we can see how wise words can make so much of a difference. We pray that you will just continue to guide us and lead us. We pray that even as we give an offering, that you would use this offering for the furtherance of your kingdom. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.